Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
So our lead this hour comes from Pro Bouncy Ball. No, it is not what you think. We'll get to that later. But the story that I found most interesting comes out of Brooklyn. Now, it's not about a Nets game. The Nets right now have become the dragon-breathing fire, a beast of the NBA. Of late, they've been playing very well, and they've been living up to the hype when James Harden came over, even though Kevin Durant is hopping around. They have woken up from their nap. However, the story here is not about anything to do with that particular stretch of good basketball. It is a statement made by Kyrie Irving that popped up on our radar. Did you see this? I don't know if you saw this or not. It could be that you missed it. So I will give you the short and sweet of it because this story has taken a life of its own. Kyrie Irving has again gone back to the well. Now, he is not going to the flat earth. He's not doing that. He is publicly lobbying for Kobe Bryant to become the new NBA logo. He did this on social media, pleading his case. Says, gotta happen. I don't care what anyone says. Shocking that Kyrie wouldn't care what anyone says. But then it's the next part, which really had people say, whoa, we got a racist here. Kyrie said, black kings built the league. We'll address that racist take coming racist. Up a little bit later. But let's look at the premise that Kobe Bryant should be the logo of the NBA. We heard this about a year ago after the tragedy happened in Southern California. So the question, how should the NBA respond to Kyrie? Because it's not just Kyrie. He started this fire, but other people have jumped in, and now they're piling on top and saying, yeah, I agree with that. That's a great point. All right. So how should the NBA respond? So I've got side deal, Pandora's box, and hall pass. And we will lock all of these things together. Now, number one. On the surface, Kobe Bryant, NBA logo. Most people say, well, what's wrong with that? Who would have a problem with that? You'd be a heathen. You'd be a heathen to push back on that idea. Well, I guess it's time to buy me a gargoyle costume because I'm not on the same wavelength as Kyrie in a lot of things, but this would be another one we can put on top of the other things, the pile over there in the corner. It has been over a year. This is still a fresh wound from the sudden and traumatic nature of the demise of the Black Mamba. Kyrie Irving apparently had a very good relationship with Kobe Bryant. I don't know what happened between those two guys. Nobody really knows other than them. But this is obviously a personal crusade for Kyrie. And while I appreciate the hustle, it's not going to work. The NBA, here's what they should do. I got the perfect solution. I'm an answers guy. The NBA should make a side deal with Kyrie. And if you're Adam Silver, you say, listen, Kyrie, you want Kobe to be the logo. Here's what we're going to do, okay? You take me to the end of the flat earth. You show me where the earth, you can fall out into the cosmos. You show me that, and we will change the logo for you, all right? Done, right? Now, if Kyrie can do that, I'd be on board with this. Now, all kidding aside, though, I mean, if you're the NBA, if you're advising them from a business standpoint, you don't even consider touching this symbol. The unvarnished truth is the NBA logo has been tremendously successful, as much as a logo can be. It's instantly recognizable across continents, across oceans. That logo stands out. You cannot put a price on this. There's a term that the marketing mavens have used over the years called brand equity. And the well-known brand ends up generating even more revenue than others simply from brand recognition. So, well, it's different. It's basketball. Well, no, not really. The market research says not really. And remember that marketing is the battle of perceptions. not products. And if, for example, you look at McDonald's, very successful business in the United States, have they changed their logo, McDonald's? You know, the golden arches. They've had some different versions of it, but the main logo has been the same. And that NBA logo was designed in 1969. Most of us know it's the silhouette of the logo. Clipper executive Jerry West driving to the basket. And as far as logos go, it's perfection. Baseball's got a good logo, too. They used Harmon Killebrew as the silhouette for that logo. But the NBA logo, stylish. It works. Now, the second thing here, when you talk about changing the NBA logo to honor Kobe Bryant, the Komodo dragon in the room is to avoid at all times being the prisoner of the moment. The NBA, here's the rub on this. The NBA would be opening Pandora's box if they were to change the logo. Now, why is that? Right? Because this would be a precedent-setting event. You say, well, it doesn't matter, but it is the slippery slope. You try to avoid the slippery slope. For example, we don't want to throw things out, but just for the purposes of this monologue, Michael Jordan is the face of the NBA in the modern era of the NBA. He is the gold standard, right? Modern era, say, since the 1980s, which is 40 years of time, Michael Jordan is the gold standard. If Michael Jordan were to meet with the Grim Reaper in a sudden, unexpected way, which we hope does not happen, obviously, would the NBA change its logo again? Right? Jordan was better than Kobe Bryant. If it's based on performance, by the way, then why not have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the most unstoppable move in all of sport, the sky hook? Have that as your NBA logo. I mean, the other point here, that if Kobe had not gotten in the helicopter and was still alive, nobody would be saying he should be the logo. So this is a direct correlation to what happened there, and the NBA should put their foot down. Now, the final part of this, we need to address the third rail, my man, the third rail. Kyrie Irving, the way I interpreted what he said, he implied that Jerry West's race is a problem with the logo, that when he used the line, black kings built the league, I don't know how you can interpret that any other way than being racist. I know racist is in vogue and it's trendy and all that stuff, but yeah, you know, I roll my eyes when I hear that kind of stuff, and I see that. I mean, it's obviously if the shoe was on the other foot. Imagine if Luka Doncic had come out and said the opposite and said, "Well, you know, the early NBA was a bunch of like old white guys or whatever." Oh my God, he'd be exiled. He'd be excommunicated from the NBA. Kyrie's like, I think most of us roll our eyes. But I was raised with the belief, the MLK philosophy, that you look forward, his famous quote, you look forward to a day when people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. Kyrie clearly wasn't in class that day when they talked about that, or he just doesn't care about it. He's very concerned about race based on these comments. And I guess he's got a hall pass, though. Pierce Kyrie's got a hall pass here, because I'm not seeing a lot of pushback on that. I'm not seeing a lot of blowback on that, that Kyrie's okay here. No one's calling him out on it. But when push comes to shove, as far as the logo, the NBA will ultimately leave the primary logo alone. Now, we could see them pacifying some of the people demanding change in some other way. You can always come up with other secondary monikers if you're the National Basketball Association. But the main logo, which is Jerry West, that silhouette, untouched. It's not going to be touched. And the NBA already has renamed the All-Star MVP Award, that trophy, for Kobe Bryant. So, and I'm sure they'll do other things as time marches on. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. As we press on now, as an added bonus here, we're going to call this a 2-for-1 special, because I must rant. You give the people what they want. The people are demanding an encore, encore, encore. So many of you have reached out and said, you know what, Mallory, that monologue you did when Anthony Davis went down was perfection. You nailed it. You really are a distant relative of the great Nostradamus and a friend of Nostradinus. So let's discuss the showcase NBA game. It was on national TV on a Wednesday night from Salt Lake. late start local time, the hometown Jazz playing the Lakers. And if you saw this game, I hope you watched the early part of the game, because that was the only part of the game where it was even remotely close. The Lakers had their last lead at 17-16 with about 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Utah never trailed over the final 40 minutes of the game. They led by as many as 29 points. So it is time for a mini Maller monologue, the big game in the NBA on a Wednesday night. So the question, what are the takeaways here? I watched some of the game here. What are the takeaways from the Jazz mopping the floor with the Lakers? So I've got diapers and vampire, all right? And breaking this down, A, make no mistake, this was an ambush situation. The Utah Jazz dominated this game with Donovan Mitchell playing pretty poorly offensively. I would say when you take 16 shots and you miss 12 of them, you're not having an all-star performance for the Jazz. He only had 13 points. Think about that. One of the top players on the Jazz. You could argue he's the number one player on the Jazz. Donovan Mitchell did almost nothing offensively. And the Utah Jazz still rained down three-pointers and won the game and laughed and mocked and ridiculed those pathetic losers from L.A. It was beautiful. This was a symphony of money balls, of throwing them down, 22 three-pointers for the Jazz there. It's been this way all year. The Jazz have the best record in the NBA. They did lose to the Clippers, by the way, last week. I want to point that out. But they have won 22 of their last 24 games, haven't lost at home since back in December. We're almost into March now. And Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert named to the All-Star team. Mike Conley should have been named to the All-Star team. Most points in the West. They're also allowing the fewest points, so they're number one defensively in that statistic. But as impressive as Mike Conley and the Jazz have been, the better story is in the losing locker room. Without Anthony Davis, the Lakers have been, say it with me now, kids, exposed as a JV squad. All right, I'm going to explain this to you like you're 6 years old. These blue chip backups that we heard so much about from the Laker media cartel are a bunch of lightweights. Anthony Davis was the backbone of that team, and none of us are surprised here. In previous episodes, we pointed out with the Maller scale of confidence how much trouble the Lakers were, and a pending implosion. They've lost 5 out of 6 now. I don't know if they can fix it. I don't know if the Lakers can fix it. It's that bad. You should have listened. And I hope they can, when they go on that plane, they travel on to their next destination. I hope they can get some of those adult diapers, because the Lakers are collectively, the team they have right now is defecating all over the court. Kyle Kuzma, I heard how good he was. He was demoted out of the starting lineup. He was back being a backup in the game Wednesday night. Talen Horton Tucker, who got hyped up as Baby Jordan, he was in the starting lineup. How did this work out? Now, check out this. Kyle Kuzma, Horton Tucker, and Alex Caruso, those three, right, combined to take 27 shots. They missed 21 of them in that game against Utah. Can you say suck? I think you can. Now, part B of this, mini Maller monologue. The double trouble is the coach and the king. Frank Vogel and LeBron James are being exposed. They're being exposed. Now, Frank Vogel, the Laker media cartel, was hyping this guy up. They propped him up as some kind of X's and O's genius. Oops, a little premature on that one. A little premature. You are exposed here all of a sudden. He's had the rug pulled out from underneath him, Coach Vogel. Without the unibrow, the Lakers team is playing like some of those Orlando Magic teams that Frank Vogel had back in the day. And LeBron James, oh, he was riding high on the hog and going to win the MVP. Can we just forget about LeBron as the MVP now? There's no way he wins the MVP, right? It would be a joke. I mean, his buddies in the NBA media kept hyping him up. Not anymore. You can forget that narrative. Put it to bed. LeBron's not the MVP. It's over. It's over. Anthony Davis wearing a sweater. And since that happened, since he started putting on sweaters and standing on the sidelines, LeBron James has been like a vampire exposed to sunlight. It has not gone well. It has not gone well. Listen, I hate to see it. You know, you hate to see a team like the Lakers that go from champions to chumps. You hate to, I guess you could say the bubble burst, right? The bubble burst with Anthony Davis out. And he's so fragile. You're getting the full Anthony Davis experience. This is the guy they had in New Orleans. All right. There is no guarantee he comes back. There is no guarantee that Anthony Davis comes back. And if he does come back, he's still a ticking time bomb. That's the player that you acquired. You're getting the full experience right now. I hope you're enjoying it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Our lead this hour comes from the flea market of football, not the quarterback carousel, which we will address in a future hour of the show. We are, though, closing in on a decision, at least if you believe the scuttlebutt around the NFL regarding the future of J.J. Watt. I stay up all night worried about where J.J. Watt's going to play football, unless I don't. Now, have you heard the latest here? Maybe it skipped under your radar here. Well, I will give you the nuts and bolts here, the condensed version of events. A little birdie, very small birdie, says that J.J. Watt has trimmed his wish list to three. It's like an episode of The Bachelor. He's eliminating people. Now, the finalists are said to be, are you ready for this? Attention. Green Bay is on the list, all right? That one's kind of obvious, Green Bay. Buffalo, that's a surprise. And Tennessee, you're the only 10 I see. So those are the three. Now, John Clayton, remember him? He used to be a big deal back in the day. He had this report. He used to be an NFL insider in this little outfit.
Never heard of him.
Well, it was in Bristol, Connecticut. I don't know what happened to him. But anyway, last we heard of John Clayton, he could not figure out how to put an antenna up in his house. But anyway, he's still, God love him, he's still working. And John Clayton says the Raiders, that's right, the Raiders are a dark horse.
The greatness of the Raiders.
So there are three teams, but I guess there's really four, because if you're still alive, if you're the Raiders, that would be the fourth team. Let us discuss. Now, for the purposes of this Maller monologue, we are going to assume the position that there is some accuracy in this report. And I am going to deputize you, and I'm going to deputize myself, to give advice here to J.J. Watt. So let's assume the position. Packers, Bills, Titans. That's it. We'll eliminate the Raiders. You are the advisor. You are the counsel of J.J. Watt. Where should J.J. Watt go? The advice I am giving, J.J., this is a Maller Show exclusive. Nobody else has this content. Head to Erie County. Head to Erie County. All right, I've got real estate, Thomas Wolfe, and Liberty. And we will combine all of these things together into an adequate Maller monologue. Now, A, if all things are equal, we know all things are not equal, but if all things are equal as far as the finances are concerned, and this is really simply based on wins and losses, then the pick here is Buffalo, right? Shocking I'm saying that. I might be on some kind of beverages that I shouldn't be drinking. We still have our doubts about Josh Allen. I'm not completely convinced that was not a mirage. An illusion that what we saw last season. He turned the mountain, I will agree with you, but he's not quite all the way around the mountain. Right? He's turning the mountain. He's not out of the woods. Now, that said, the Bills roster appears to be pretty good, right? Above average talent. But I'm basing this advice on the foolproof process of elimination strategy mixed with real estate. Right, mixed with real estate. The working class table jumping and beer bottle smashing, Bills Mafia, and J.J. Watt, they can hold hands, they can break bread, and they can start singing, "Let's go, Buffalo! The Bills make me want to shout." There you go. That's the Bills fight song. I went to a Bills game one time. It was a Bills-Titans game. The only time I've ever been to a Buffalo Bills game in Orchard Park. And they just kept playing that song like every 5 minutes. I have the lyrics memorized. There's not many lyrics to it. Anyway, I mentioned real estate. Location, location, location. At this moment, we don't know what's going to happen in the offseason, but at this moment, the AFC East is a hot mess. The Patriots as we are talking, are devoid of elite playmakers. They don't even have a quarterback. The Dolphins appear fed up already after one season, wasn't even a full season, of Tua Tagovailoa, and they're looking to upgrade that position, get out of the Tua business. The Jets have been unable to find the runway. They haven't been able to take off in many, many years. They got another coach. Who knows if this guy, Robert Saleh, knows what he's doing. He's the rah-rah coach. That usually works until you get off to the 0-4 start. And so the path for the Bills to the postseason is filled right now, which is awkward because it's Buffalo. It's filled with sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops. Don't normally find sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops in Buffalo. Now, that is with the caveat, unless Josh Allen comes out and poops the bed and has a major regression, which is not off the table. It's not off the table. Now, part B of this, the popular pick by popular people would be Green Bay. And certainly Green Bay would be something that no one would criticize J.J. Watt for. Heavy doses of nostalgia. We know, even if we're casual observers of the NFL, J.J. Watt's ties, the roots to Wisconsin, it's in his blood. But regardless of that, as Thomas Wolfe wrote years ago, you can't go home again. You can't go home again. And despite the Packers having an impressive record in recent seasons, much to my chagrin, this team is more of a paper tiger than anything else. And as wonderful as Aaron Rodgers has been statistically, how many times has he come up short in big games? Right? Games you expected him to be the better quarterback, that you expected him to win in all things being equal. And you look at the classic example here. You had the Packers and the Bucs at Lambeau Field, small crowd on hand. Tom Brady played an amazing first half, was terrible in the second half, and Aaron Rodgers still could not get enough from the Packers to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and end up in the Super Bowl. And ever since that long ago championship appearance and win, there's a glass ceiling that has developed in Wisconsin for Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood. And certainly the NFC, what you would say, is wide open. It's more wide open than the AFC because you've got Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City, the beast of the heartland. But the NFC being wide open is also an illusion because you've still got Tom Brady lurking around in Florida, drinking the Fountain of Youth from Ponce de Leon. The Rams have an elite championship defense, and now they've got a quarterback. Now they have a real quarterback, Matthew Stafford, who's going to shock the NFL this year in L.A. The Seahawks are sneaky dangerous, although they also seem to vanish, much like the Packers do in the postseason year after year with Russell Wilson. So there's not the quality at the very top, but there's quantity in that conference. Now, as for the Tennessee Titans, all right, they're in the AFC South. You look at that division. Houston's giving up. Jacksonville's got Urban Meyer. They'll be a little bit better. And the Colts, they're good, but how good is Carson Wentz going to be? I don't take Tennessee seriously because of the style of play they have. It's an outdated style. It gets you to a certain point. Derrick Henry is a monster masher in the backfield. We could agree on that, right? But in big spots, you need your quarterback, and I do not trust Ryan Tannehill. Guy's a decoy. So, now it's possible the other quarterback can have such a bad game that the Titans end up getting to a Super Bowl, but I don't trust that recipe. That recipe needs some fine-tuning. Now, the last word on this, while the J.J. Watt story is fun to kick around on the radio, I've just done it here, has anyone stopped to ask the question, smell the roses, which is the most important, most relevant question regarding J.J. Watt? How much does he have left in the tank? Is J.J. Watt still considered an elite defensive player? I'm skeptical. Now, I know this is blasphemy and you're never supposed to say this kind of thing because J.J. Watt's a folk hero and all that, but J.J. Watt was absolutely a force multiplier from about 2012 to 2015, a human wrecking ball, if I remember correctly. He was Aaron Donald before Aaron Donald. But that's in the rearview mirror. And in the days since, he's got the double whammy. J.J. Watt has the double whammy here. And I know, celebrity worship aside, he's got age and injury. And JJ is like a used car that was the cool car. You wanted to drive it at one point, but then, now it's got a bunch of scratches. It's got some dents on it. The color's a little faded because of excessive use and wear and tear. The interior of the car, a little stained and whatnot. So I look at J.J. Watt and all the excitement among the NFL media contingent about J.J., and I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, okay, I don't see it. This is a liberty valance situation. It's a phrase we use from time to time. When the legend becomes the fact, print the legend. The legend of J.J. Watt has become the fact. The reality of J.J. Watt and his up-and-down performance in recent years, that's not as sexy. You don't talk about that. You go with the legend, right? It's from the man who shot Liberty Valance, old movie in Hollywood back in the 60s. But the legend of J.J. Watt is he is Hercules. He's Hercules. That trumps reality, right? Now, the counter argument is, well, you know, you're wrong, Maller. Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. J.J. Watt was double-teamed more than any other edge rusher last season. And I counter that by pointing out he was playing for a morbidly bad Texans team. You can't judge anything off any of the numbers J.J. Watt put up, good, bad, or ugly, last season because the team was irrelevant. They were a laughingstock of the NFL.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Third Degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, Kubaloo.
Ben, we're almost halfway into the NBA season, and it seems like LaMelo Ball might have Rookie of the Year already locked up. Now, Ball's averaging 14-6-6 while primarily coming off the bench. Do you think we have a superstar in the making here?
Well, I don't know that we'd say superstar. We have a star. I mean, it's very straightforward here. LaMelo Ball has outperformed he's lapped the rookie class in the NBA. And he's 6'7". I think he leads all rookies in rebounds off the bench. How embarrassing is that for James Wiseman, who's like 7 feet tall for the Warriors? And in terms of LaMelo Ball being a star, I'm not going to go superstar, but star, that's not hard to decode. The NBA just announced the second half schedule, and NBA marketing are going to showcase the Charlotte Hornets several games because of LaMelo Ball. Next!
Now, Bucks GM Jason Licht made a radio appearance this week when he was asked about Tom Brady getting extended past the 2021 season. Now, he didn't give any absolutes, but he said he thinks it's a match made in heaven and that they'd like to keep this going. Ben, how long of an extension do you think they'll give him?
Well, it's Tom Brady's the one who's wearing the pants in this, so the Bucks were a joke prior to Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the Messiah. He saved the GMs, took us from being poleaxed and whatnot. But the smart money says Brady signs a 3-year extension with a lot of offset language and loopholes and technicalities. Next!
The Atlanta Falcons GM was asked about having the 4th pick in the draft. He said he thinks it's a prime spot to be in. Now, whether they take a good player there or trade up or trade down. Ben, do you think the Falcons draft a quarterback?
No, they don't. No, listen, they have other needs. They're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. They need a defensive end, defensive backs, safeties. Their defense sucked. No, you get a good defensive player there. The quarterbacks aren't wonderful. I don't believe in most of those guys. How'd we do, Kubaloo?
You pass this edition.
There it is. That's a win. Put it on the board. Yeah. Woo!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's now time for...
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
Yeah, use that hashtag AskBen. Get it in. Hashtag Ask Ben, and you can send that in right now. Here we go. Koopa Loop, what do we have?
All right, Ben, this is a question for you. This is from Chris. He says, Ben, you're one of the rare sports guys who is nice enough to meet your fans once in a while at Maller meetups. Most don't because it could get weird. Has it ever gotten weird?
Oh, God, yes. Yes, I mean, in the one we did in Boston, we had to like sneak out the door to get away from our guy Wayne in Southie, who I like Wayne, but Wayne was out of control. And he wanted to like go get some strippers and hang out and drink. And I was like, nah, Wayne, I'm good, man. I'm all right. And so we had a couple listeners from Maine. We had Blind Scott, guy from Toronto, and we took off. We took off in like the Great Escape. And then also at that same, the Boston one was off the rails because our buddy David from Florida, and he's the guy that had Roscoe the Parrot. Remember Roscoe the Parrot was a bit on the show a couple years ago, and I love David's a good guy. But he drove all the way from Winter Park, Florida to Boston for like an hour and a half meet and greet at this bar in Boston. He drives all the way up, and you know, I'm like, all right, whatever, nice to meet him. He's a big Tampa Bay Rays fan. And I said, all right, where's the parrot? You know, Roscoe the Parrot. He says, all right, Ben, I'll be right back. He goes out, hand to God. He goes out to his car. He comes back like 5-10 minutes later with a stuffed animal parrot and then proceeds to pretend like the parrot's talking to me. Yeah. So we've had some interesting situations. And then the Seattle one was fun because it wasn't really nutso, but the Mallor Man March with Ed in Spokane, Christina in Spokane, Robbie the Mariner fan was there, Nostradinus. We had some big name, you know, celebrities from the Seattle area that were fans of the show, and we marched around the streets of Seattle. That was pretty crazy. All right, what's next? What do we have?
All right, this is a question from Chris in Houston. He says, since trading cards is a big topic, besides the top players, who is the player that you thought was going to be the next superstar but ended up flopping like a fish out of water?
Okay, so this is easy for me. There's a couple of them. Bob Hamlin, he's from my hometown. Bob Hamlin was a star for the Royals. He was like rookie of the year, and he looked like the Bambino, right? I was convinced this guy's going to be great for the next 20 years, going to be a Hall of Famer. So I bought all these Bob Hamlin rookie cards. He was with the Royals. And he flamed out after like a couple of seasons. He was out of baseball. There was that, and then I fell victim, because I'm of the age where I fell victim to that Upper Deck scam when the Ken Griffey Jr. card, and they just mass-produced those because they were worth so much money, and so the cards were worth almost nothing. So, yeah, I got burned on those. I also got burned on the Billy Ripken error card. I had the... It was a famous baseball card back in the day. And then the Dale Murphy reverse negative one. I got screwed on that, too. I have more, much like gambling, I have more misses than I have hits. But I did do pretty well with basketball cards, of all things. And everyone, all my friends goofed on me. Why are you collecting basketball cards? That's not cool. Those are the ones that are actually worth something.
Chris said his was Glenn Robinson.
Oh, Glenn Robinson. Yeah, that was a good big one, dog. Too. Yeah, big dog. He was supposed to be so good. He was so average. All right, what's next here, Koopa Loop? It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers.
Next, we pause for the cause.
Oh, that's right. We pause for the cause. All right, keep your questions coming in, and we will pick this up where we left off. If you want to use your knowledge to send a question, go to Twitter, use the hashtag AskBen. Ask Ben. You can save that question for us. We'll use it on the air. And Ask Ben rolling on. It continues. We'll get to that. We will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And Ask Ben continues, as the late, great Larry King used to say, for the rest of the hour.
Los Angeles, hello.
That's right, Larry. It's all made possible by Farmers Insurance. Call Farmers today for a quote. Back over to Koopa Loop for more of the questions on Ask Ben. Your questions are answers.
All right, this one is from Dave. It's for everyone.
Hi, Dave.
He wants to know a band that you regret not seeing when you had the chance.
Well, considering I almost never went to concerts at all, it would be like any of them. The first concert I went to was I was working in radio, and they hired us as muscle for a Kiss FM Wango Tango concert. That was the first concert I'd been to. So I was lacking going to anything. So pretty much anybody, you know, anybody that was available in those days. What about you, Eddie? Any concert that stands out? You went to concerts, right, back in your day?
Yeah, I've gone to plenty of concerts. Yeah. I'm very happy I got to see Soundgarden with Chris Cornell before that went bad. But I don't know. Maybe I always kind of wanted to see AC/DC back in the day, and now they're old, and I think the lead singer doesn't even sing anymore because he lost his hearing or something. So maybe, I don't know. AC/DC, I guess.
All right, Roberto, any band that you wanted to see when you were younger?
I was going to say Rage Against the Machine, but I still got. I'm still might be able to do that. I'll say Tupac.
Tupac, but,
yeah.
All right.
I wish I would have got to see Tupac live.
Well, some people think he's still alive.
Yeah, he might be.
Yeah. What about you, Coop?
I've got two. First, I'm going to say Fleetwood Mac. Now, technically, there's a chance that could still happen. They've like kind of broke up, but who knows? They might get back together again. And then the other one, which is too late, is the Eagles, because like half of them are dead.
But you can't see the Philadelphia Eagles, but they're also half dead. So, all right. All right. What's next here? It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers.
This might be a tough one, but Manic Mike wants to know, what is your favorite movie set in the Middle Ages?
Oh, God. Let me think. Movie, Middle Ages. That's a very specific genre.
Right.
I don't know, like, what was Braveheart, I guess, would be the only thing that pops into my head. Does that count? Is that in the Middle Ages, Braveheart?
Yeah, well, I think.
I'm sure there's others, but I'm drawing a blank here other than Braveheart.
That might work.
All right, I'm going Braveheart then. What about you, Eddie? Middle Ages?
I think this. There was a movie called Kingdom of Heaven with Orlando Bloom. It's a Ridley Scott movie I liked a lot, about the Crusades.
That's random.
I think that might be in that time period, so I'll go with that one.
All right.
Robin Hood. Kevin Costner. At least I like that movie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I like the cartoon version of Robin Hood. I'm old school. Just want to point that out. What about you, Coop?
A Knight's Tale.
A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger, yeah.
Never saw it.
It was great.
All right. Well, I missed it. All right. I can still watch it. I'm sure it's streaming somewhere. All right. What's going on? What's next here? It's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers.
Ben, this one is for you.
All right.
If I can find all right. it.
Well, so take your time there, Koopaloop. Don't mind us at all. You want me to say farmers? Call farmers today for a quote. I'll say it again.
All right, farmer.
I say farmers so much, I feel like a farmer. I love farmers.
We are farmers.
Oh, here we go. I found it. It's from Chet in San Diego.
Hi, Chet.
I feel like we've probably asked this, but it's been many years. Did you have a bar mitzvah?
I did. I am officially a member of the tribe. I did. I was 13 years old. I was scared out of my mind. I, at that time, did not want to speak in front of anyone, even my family and my extended family, but I somehow pulled it off, and I don't know how still. It was crazy.